right, day 48. We are in 2 Corinthians today, 4 through 5 and 8 and 9. I'm not going to lie, after we wrapped up our 1 Corinthians series, the type A personality of mine really wanted to just jump right into 2 Corinthians. Just kind of felt incomplete for me.
Yep. Part 2.
Yes, you know. Yes.
Well, there is some crossover here because, you know, when we look at 2 Corinthians, we see Paul referencing some of the things from the first letter. Yep. So there is some crossover. When we get to the reading today, and again, remember from what was said yesterday, this is still that church that Paul's dealing with, you know, some of the issues there. I think this one is a little bit more, he's still addressing things, but he's not, I think there's been some correction from the first one. So he kind of broadens some of his topic a little bit. When we get to, you know, these first couple of chapters, four and five, we see him kind of addressing especially in chapter five, but he's preparing to encourage this mission that we have as the church, because he in chapter four, he's talking about jars of clay, and he's talking about how, you know, in the flesh, how we are weak. And he's talking about that we are these jars of clay, but yet God has chosen us to be the vessels that take forth the beauty of the gospel, the message of the gospel, the glory of the kingdom. You know, because he talks about just this treasure in us, this power that we have from God. He's taking I feel like he's taking his eyes off us, and he's saying, put your eyes on Jesus, like put your eyes on God and the power of God that is in you. And then, you know, and he starts in chapter five, starting that encouragement of saying, yes, in the flesh, you are weak and you feel tired and you feel, you know, he's not saying necessarily that way, but he's saying, listen, this is just a tent that someday we're going to leave. And we're going to enter into a heavenly existence. So he's trying to take our eyes. So this kind of goes, you know, what he's talking about here is choosing where your focus is at. If your focus is on the temporary, you can get discouraged. You can get beat down. You can, I need to give up. Through this, he's kind of building us up to say, no, you are, you know, you're. He's told us in other chapters, you know, like, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And this is where he's taking us to encourage the church. And then at the end of chapter five is one of a very important passage that Christians can't jump over, because Paul is saying, your purpose here is God has given you the ministry of reconciliation, meaning it is your responsibility to take the message of Jesus, that God has made peace between the sinner and himself, and he is wanting to bring back people to his family. That is our job to proclaim.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, he says it flat out. You are, you know, these ambassadors to go do this. Mm-hmm. Go reach people for Jesus.
Yeah. And while he uses various means of grace to bring the gospel to people, like whether it's a sermon or, you know, someone knocking on your door, the Bible, you know, a friend, neighbor, whatever, ultimately it's God that opens our eyes and yep. draws us to himself, and we don't actually contribute anything.
No.
And so yeah. I heard someone saying earlier this week that, you know, he's been wooing us ever since we were born.
Yeah.
Like that's just, and then you think about all the things in your life and you're like, man, he really was like so amazing.
Yeah. If we take the time to look back at our lives and look at it through a lens of God's presence, things start.
Oh,
like
yeah.
the hurts are still there, but they yeah. start, you know, we start seeing things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you talk about this ministry of reconciliation, like, you know, verse 14 of chapter 5, you know, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. You know, when we're thinking about that love, you know, Christ's love compels us, like you were saying, it's not us. It's actually the love of Christ flowing through us that compels us to fulfill this mission and this ministry. So this might sound a little, you know, like, don't step on my toes, but that's one of the things I would encourage us. If we struggle with sharing the message of Jesus with other people, now this doesn't mean you have to get up and preach and all that, but I'm saying sure. if you can look at your life and say, I do not tell, like, I don't share Jesus with anybody, then you might want to ask yourself, like, how convinced are you?
Yeah.
You know, because he's saying the love of Christ compels us.
Mm-hmm.
because we are convinced. And so I'm not trying to put any shadow of doubt on anybody that's listening to this, but ask yourself the question, like, are you kind of like, yeah, no, I get it, but are you convinced? Mm-hmm. Like, or are you kind of like, well, I'll kind of go this route because it makes sense?
Yeah.
Versus, you know, that you are convinced. Mm-hmm. And the second part of they fit together. The second part of the reading for this week is, or for today is, it talks a lot about generosity. It talks about having a heart for helping others. It talks about, you know, sowing and reaping. It talks about
generosity.
So just, you know, this idea of pour yourself out. I mean, it kind of fits with that ministry of reconciliation. Pour yourself out, because when that's what God did for us. Right. That's, I mean, he's tying it back to when I am convinced that the love of Christ was poured out for me in generosity. Mm-hmm. It's only natural for me to say, I want to do the same because I'm compelled by him.
And specifically here, he's talking about financial generosity in chapters 8 and 9. So,
Well, and sometimes we can get that, well, the church just wants my money or this or that.
No, it's in the Bible.
It is in the Bible. But here's the thing. It's more than just giving to the church.
Right.
Because, you know, I talked John Wesley. I love John Wesley. He was a guy that his attitude was, listen, you can't share the gospel with somebody. If you have somebody that's got an empty stomach,
you can't
share the gospel with them until you fill their stomach.
Yep.
Because he's like, they're not going to listen because they're going to be more focused on their stomach than they are on what you're saying. And so Wesley was a very much this help the poor, because when you meet the need, you free them to have the space to be like, now I can listen. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just, hey, I give to the church. It's, hey, if you got people that you're trying to reach, in your life, find ways to be a blessing, to open them up. And financial is a big way, especially now.
Yep.
And you know,
Matt always says that's the last thing to go for people when it comes to surrender. And it's very true. It is. Money is a tough thing. But
Well, especially right now with, you know, prices are getting crazy and we're probably already all thinking like,
we made a gas run last night.
Yeah, exactly. And we start thinking, where am I going to cut back?
Yeah.
And the sad truth is a lot of people, the first thing they're going to think of is cutting back when it comes to anything with God.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, gas is expensive. I'm not use my gas to go to church. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's why budget's so important.
So, but yes, it's all the heart of God flowing through us. Generosity is evidence of his love compels us.